A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord. When I woke up yesterday morning, I looked outside. It was gray and dark and snowing. It was the shortest day of the year. The sun didn't rise till 7:17. And then it went and set at 4:28. Only 9 hours and 11 minutes of what you could call daylight. 15 hours of darkness and twilight. And then the cold, 8 degrees. Things die in the dark, in the cold. They flourish when it's warm and bright. Day like today, we say, global warming, bring it on. We could use a little bit more. But that's the world, right? It's kind of a metaphor for the world. And you know, all the pagan peoples always celebrated this winter solstice. And there's a sense in which Christians took it over, and we assigned, because nobody's really sure exactly when Christ was born. We know it was winter, but the Bible doesn't say it was December 25th. So Christians kind of took over this winter solstice when it's the darkest time of the year, and said the light begins to shine with the coming of Christ. Little by little, the darkness is overcome by the light. And that's why we celebrate Christmas right at this moment. A little bit of a window into the way the world is today, that we've got this dark and gray sky and in the morning and the trees are bare, and we look at the world and we see it de-Christianizing today. And even now, with depopulation is a big problem. There seems to be a big pessimism about the future. And we all have our angle on the way things are going in the world. Most of us, various degrees of skepticism or cynicism, right? And then we see some people, I was just reading about Jeff Bezos getting married, and he's going to spend $600 million on his wedding, if that's possible. Must be quite a dress that she's going to wear. And you know, he's the second richest man in the world with $244 billion. And he's only in second to Elon Musk. And so for him, it's nothing, right? But if we stop and we reflect on that, what does it say about the world we live in? Oh, that we can just throw so much money at something that's so passing. It's like we live just for the moment, and there's no consideration for how much good that could do for others. And we face so many different things where the world seems superficial. The rise of social media and influencers, and things get trivialized. And here we are celebrating the birth of the Messiah and the rebirth of hope into the world. And we Christians have to go deep and reflect on what this means, that the Messiah comes into this world that's so broken and dark in so many ways and so given over just to passing things. Somebody said, I think it's true, the Christian is the one that's pessimistic about tomorrow, but an optimist about the day after. Because we're not naive. We don't think there's any magic wand that gets waved and fixes everything tomorrow. But the day after belongs to God, belongs to those who hope, belongs to those who don't get cynical and see, though, that the Messiah is the key to the light coming into the world. In the scriptures, this description that we've read last couple of weeks of St. Luke, we see that figure of Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, as kind of an image of old Israel that was faithful and doing its duty. He was a priest going to the temple every day. But when the angel brought him the good news, he was a cynic and said, how can this be? I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And all the hope and the promise that they were supposed to keep alive in their heart had kind of been extinguished in the heart of Zechariah, it seems. He was going through the motions, but no longer really filled with hope. He's a bit weary, and we can get that way too, right? We can get a little weary in our faith and lose hope. And then there's the contrast with Mary and Elizabeth, the two women who greet each other in the gospel today, and they're filled with joy. And Elizabeth says to Mary, blessed are you among women. Of all women on the earth, you are the most blessed, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And the church kept these passages and developed the Hail Mary from them. Because it's that blessedness where Mary's the one who is the one who believed in the promise that God had made so long ago. And believed in the promise he made to her that she would be the mother of the Messiah, that she would bring that hope into the world. And it focuses our attention on who it is she's bringing into the world. Not just a political leader, not somebody who's charismatic and will lead a change or a movement. No, she's bringing God himself into the world. She's the one who brings forth the one who shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. Mary's going to bring into the world the light of the world, where we don't have to exist just in the shadows and the darkness and our cynicism and just accept things the way they are. Now there's hope because God comes into the world, God himself. God comes into our spaces, into our history, into our own personal lives if we'll let him. And he brings that light to our lives. And he's the one that brings meaning, not all the rest. The rest of the people, in order to stave off the cynicism and the boredom, go and exhaust their resources in fun and entertainment like a $600 million wedding. Because that's the only thing there is to do if you've got wealth. But she brings into the world the one who gives true light to the world, true meaning and purpose. And that's Jesus. And only Jesus can give us that meaning and that purpose. So yeah, the one that's in the womb of Mary is that light of the world. And it leads us to ask, then who are we? Who are we? Because we're no different from the pagans who have their rituals and their pessimism about the future. We're marked by this optimism about the future because we carry that light with us. Once we've entered into contact with Christ, we're the light bearers. We're the one that carries the torch. That's why we say in that responsorial psalm, it was so beautiful, Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face and we shall be saved. Once we let the light of Christ into our lives, we're changed, transformed. And then we carry that light into the world as the ones who bring hope to the rest. We're not here just to get by and to survive, to get to the finish. We're here as the Christ bearers, the light bearers. And let's live that way from Christmas forward. That we're the ones who need to call all the others who've given up hope, all the Zechariahs who just go through the motions. We're the ones called to bring them into the fullness of the truth, into the light. And let's live our lives as a reflection of that hope and that light that only Christ can bring.